So praise God for the opportunity to gather together as God's people here at FBC. And if you are our guest today, we welcome you. Thanks for choosing to worship with us on this great day. And we trust that you will find a church home with us. We're looking forward to what God's going to be doing even in the days ahead. Next week, we're starting in a series on glimpses of the glory of God out of the book of Isaiah. So looking forward to that. So again, encourage you to be out in fellowship with us even in the days ahead, learning from God through his word and just seeing what God has for us in and through the ministry of the church, the fellowship together. So I was thinking about our time together today. I thought back to when I was a kid, and there were certain things that were difficult for me to grasp. One of the things was the reflection in a mirror. Now, that may sound kind of funny, but I remember in sixth grade, we were talking about reflections and refractions of light rays and so on. And we're talking about looking in a mirror. And if I was looking in a mirror, let's say at Lily here, and we were looking at each other and she did what I did, that my right hand was not her left hand, or my left hand as I was looking at myself, right? It was a reflection of my right hand. But in my mind, it had to be the left hand of the reflection. And I don't know about you, but that was just blowing my mind. I just couldn't understand that. I even stayed after school, believe it or not, to have the teacher explain to me what was going on with my reflection. Anyway, another one was my dad. We were driving to church, and we weren't late. Dad was never late. And we were driving. He was going kind of slow, but I was kind of in a hurry. I wanted to see my friends at church and everything. I said, "Dad, you got to speed up." He said, "No, it's I'm saving gas." I said, "No, Dad, you don't understand. See, when you drive slow, it takes longer to get there. If you drive fast, the engine's not running as long, and you'll get there quicker, and you save gas." Dad just did not understand. But as you know, I grew older and I had to start paying for gas, and I finally grasped the concept, right? And then there were colors. That was a whole nother thing because I'm colorblind. So we won't even get into that. But anyway, there are difficult things that we can grasp until we see the bigger picture. I'd like you to take a look at this picture right here. Here's a picture of a hand, all right? And we look at that hand and say, "Hey, big deal. You know, he's got his hand on a rock and maybe he has some chalk there." And you say, what's going on with that? All right, well, let's take a look at the bigger picture. Ah, it's a guy that's rock climbing, all right? So he's hanging on a rock there, and he's climbing. It just gives you a little better understanding of what's going on with this guy, right? Well, if you look closely, he's not using any equipment. Now, when I climbed rocks back in college, many years ago, we were down at Clifton Gorge. It wasn't all that high, but we still did what we called top roping. And you'd go from you'd have an anchor at the top, and your rope would go from you and a harness up to the top, and then back down to someone who was protecting you. It's called a belayer. And even on lead climbing, when you did higher, I always use ropes, man. I mean, I wanted to be safe. But this guy, if you look closely, he's not using any ropes. He's not using any equipment. He's just got a chalk bag. And so let's look at the next picture. That's that same guy. That's that same guy. And you think, oh, my goodness. And to grasp what this guy is doing is like, oh, my, he's an idiot. You know, I mean, no, not really. I mean, I was watching, this was on a video, I was watching this, and my hands, my palms were sweating. I just, like, oh my goodness, look at the next picture. It just keeps going. It's like, oh my goodness, look how far off the ground he is. Look at the next picture. Do we have the next picture? There he is. Look at this. This is towards the top, and he's hanging there. with my sweaty palms. I mean, I can't believe it. And if you have VR, this is like unbelievable. You can't hardly watch it because you're standing out there in VR. It's like, whoa, you know, I can't believe it. And the next one, look what he does. And ultimately, praise God, he makes it. But anyway, the point there is when you see that hand, just a picture of that hand on the rocks, it's like, okay. And even when you look at the picture of the guy climbing the rocks, okay. And you don't really grasp the significance of what's going on until you see the bigger picture. That's kind of what we're looking at here today. We're going to look at the bigger picture. Maybe you've had something like that happen where you've just looked at a certain matter and then you see the bigger picture and it's like, man, it's mind-blowing. Like, wow, I didn't get that until I saw the big picture. Easter may be that way for you. Yeah, maybe you got an invitation. Maybe you heard somebody talk about it. Or, you know, it's a holiday that we celebrate every year. You know it had something to do with the church. And it talks about maybe the resurrection of Jesus, and you don't know a whole lot about that. We're going to talk about that here this morning, and we're going to try to shed light on a bigger picture regarding this. It's an issue that may be kind of difficult to grasp. Years ago, I was preaching a funeral. And as I was preaching the funeral, I had a group of folks to whom I was preaching. And I was preaching on 1 Corinthians 15. We're not going to go there. Pastor Nate, he mentioned that here this morning, read a passage out of there concerning the resurrection of Jesus. And it says there that if we don't believe in the resurrection, and if the resurrection wasn't real, then we're to be pitied more than all men. That's why I said earlier, if the resurrection didn't happen, we might as well just go home. And as I was preaching at this funeral, the people that were listening were very kind, but they were like, their faces were just glazed over. And I was thinking, they're not getting it. Lord, work in their hearts. They just need to get it. I hope this morning here that this will be something of which you will see its significance. It's kind of like something that's unbelievable. You talk about someone rising from the dead, and it's like, really? That seems kind of astonishing and unbelievable. Teresa and I, not this past week, but the week before, took some time off, and we just took some day trips in the area here, and we went to the Air Force Museum. Actually, we went twice. Took 2 days to do that, and still didn't get through the whole thing, but we were going through the early days of flight and all of the attempts, you know, flapping arms and everything. And we were just thinking, you know, could you think of the folks just even 200 years ago who thought, man, wouldn't it? They see the birds flying. It's like, wow, wouldn't that be something to fly someday? You know, it's just like unbelievable. And then, as we know, the Wright brothers from Dayton, they figured it out. And even from what they figured out, it just seemed so unbelievable that man could fly, right? Yeah, men, women, and children flying in airplanes all over the world, even right now. It seems unbelievable. But 200 years ago and before that, it could never conceive that it could ever happen, that man could get off the ground. And then, not only that, you have jets. You had propeller airplanes. Then you had jets. Then you have rockets. And then you have people landing on the moon. It's like, think about those people so many years ago, just looking up the moon, you know. Oh, you know, talk about the man in the moon. It looks like, you know, we had men on the moon, right? It's just unbelievable. Long ago, there was no way that could ever happen, and yet we've witnessed these things in our lifetime. Think about the medical procedures. You know, I remember when I was in elementary school that there was a boy in our school. His dad was getting had open heart surgery. And it was like, you've got to be kidding. They open it up and they can do surgery on his heart. That wasn't that long. Well, 50 years ago anyway. You know, you think about that. And before that, it was like there was no way that could possibly happen, and someone get operated on, and they could survive such. So you have those, all of those medical advancements of which we kind of take for granted. I mean, they do open heart surgery, kind of like pulling teeth anymore, right? It's just unbelievable. They get stents and they get catheterizations and all of that, and. And yet, it's not that long ago that it would be unthinkable that something like that could happen. So, should it be really that difficult for us to think that Almighty God, the creator of the universe, could raise the dead? And that he himself died and came back to life. Let's pray just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we talk about these things here this morning, that it will be like looking at that picture. Just, we get the significance of this. And we don't fully understand these things. And yet, Father, we know that they're all in your hands. And that we can look to you, that we can trust you to do just what you have promised, that you said you will do. And I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts, that you would help us to understand these truths here this morning as we talk about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the significance of that event. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we talk about these things, beyond that, to comprehend the true significance of this awesome event. It's one thing that Jesus could, that God could raise someone from the dead. The disciples saw that. They spent a lot of time with Jesus. And they even witnessed Jesus do miracles, right? Turned the water into wine. He healed people who couldn't walk. He made the blind to see. He did all kinds of things. And lo and behold, he even raised people from the dead. And the disciples saw that. But yet, when it came to Jesus talking about this, about him going to the cross, that he would die and that he would rise again, they just couldn't connect the dots. They didn't understand what was going on there. In fact, even Peter, after Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to mention some passages. You're welcome to look these up if you'd like. If you have YouVersion, they're already looked up for you. You go to events and look up First Baptist Troy and the verses are already looked up for you. But Peter, after Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. There was excitement. He was like, yeah, we know who you are. We got it. And yet later on in that passage, when Jesus said, okay, here's what's going to happen. All right? I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. This is what's going to happen. What did Peter say? You know, basically, not on my watch. You know, that ain't going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. I got my sword. Right? And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because even then, as much time as Peter and the other disciples had spent with him, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what was going on. But Jesus would not be deterred. In Luke chapter 9, verses 43 to 45, while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, listen to this, "Let these words sink into your ears." Isn't that good? Let these words sink into your ears. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. He says this, "The Son of Man," speaking of himself, "is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying. And it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about what he was saying. Luke chapter 18. Later, taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." He's talking about the fact that they knew Son of Man was speaking of himself, and that these things were going to happen to him. And he was going to go to the cross, and he was going to die on that cruel cross, an excruciating death. And yet, he says, and he tells them this, "On the third day, I will rise from the dead." Now listen to the next phrase. "But they understood none of these things." This saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was said. The disciples, my friend, the disciples did not understand Jesus. As much time as they were spending with Jesus, they just simply didn't connect the dots. They didn't understand. They were confused. They didn't know what was happening. In fact, as they heard these things, I think there was confusion. And as these things were unfolding before their eyes, I think there was some panic. Uh-oh. You know, what's going on, right? Like, oh my goodness. What do we do? And of course, Peter, like I said, he had his sword, and he just starts whacking away and cuts a guy's ear off, right? And Jesus is like, "No, we're not going to go that route. You know, these things have to happen. And there's good reason for these things to happen." And when they arrested him, they all fled. We live in a world of chaos right now. We're confused. I mean, you know, you look at the economy, and I know some people, you're working, two and three jobs just to make ends meet. You're trying to get by. Don't know what's going to happen, and I can't remember. I should have wrote this down. But like it's like 100, is it, someone might correct me, is it 143 or 168 mass shootings already this year in the United States? The tragedy down in Tennessee, and we think, man, we're sending our kids to a Christian school, they'll be safe. Really? Will they? And we have those concerns that weigh upon us. We have all of those things happening out in the world. We hear wars, Ukraine, and there are other wars that are taking place around the world that we don't hear anything about. There are rumors of wars. They call it saber rattling over China and Taiwan and all of that going on. And Then on top of that, you think about what's going on in your own life. You set all that stuff aside and just what you're dealing with. And the difficulties and challenges that you're going through, right? And we're like, oh, God, where are you? You think about the disciples at that time, and their world was literally falling apart. It seemed it was falling apart around them, and maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're watching, you're listening, and you're like the same way. My world is falling apart. And it's not just that Jesus died. It was why he died that makes all the difference. If we just left, you know, we believe in an empty, remember the word empty earlier? We believe in an empty cross. We believe in an empty tomb. But in that emptiness, there's hope because Jesus fills it, right? And it's the significance not just of his death, but why he died was because he was the perfect Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world. It was his shed blood. In the Old Testament, it talks about the shed blood of the Lamb without blemish. That's who Jesus is. He shed his blood to pay for your sins and mine. That makes all the difference. All the difference. To realize that when he died, he shed his blood for you. Let's sing about that.
Just stand and sing, Jesus paid it all.